All right, let us go back east. He was the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly. He is now sort of a baseball observer, but still in the Washington area, and that is our good friend Paul White. Paul, how are you?
Doing great, Marty.
Yeah, nice to have you on today. I guess the big question is, what's the weather like?
Cloudy, but I think we're okay. Unless they do one of those three-hour delays when it doesn't rain here that they did earlier in the year. No, I think we're good.
All right. Paul, I'm going to call you right back. You sound a little choppy on that connection. I'm going to have Raf call you right back. Okay,
okay, sure.
All right,
okay.
Good. Yeah, let Raf, he sounded overmodulated or something coming back, didn't he, Raf? Yeah, so call Paul back and we'll get him back on. Yeah, I guess in Washington, and what it was interesting listening to Matt Williams last night talk about the weather in Washington. Of course, Matt Williams, a former Giant, and he was a manager of the Nationals. But these storms, like, come out of nowhere. And they could be pretty violent. As he said, they've had storms there with within a half an hour, 2 to 3 inches of rain in the dugout.
Yeah, those summer storms back east in D.C. and in New York are weird. The rain is hot. It's like it's muggy. It's ugh.
Yeah, a little bit different. All right, Raf, do we have Paul back? All right, let's go. Paul, you there?
Yep.
All right, that's much better. All right.
Okay.
All right, so weather comes out of nowhere, and Matt Williams was saying it last night on the TV broadcast that all of a sudden you're in Washington, next thing you know, you got 2 to 3 inches in the dugout of rain.
Yeah, you get these pop-up thunderstorms, you know, and in the forecast around here, last night was like this. It's like, oh, there'll be storms here and there scattered around the area, and you could be 10 miles away and not get a drop. And if you're sitting under one of those cells, you just get a deluge. And there was a line last night that pretty much sat around that stadium. And I think originally they thought, oh, yeah, these blow through. Even, you know, it's a team that's only in town once a year. We wait a couple hours, we get it in, and it just never let up.
Well, what are the Nats playing for right now? I mean, they've really put away Miami and everyone else. No one is going to come close to them. They're probably going to get home field against the Central.
Right.
The Dodgers are so far ahead, they're not going to be able to catch up with the Dodgers, I don't think. What's the motivation right now? What are the Nats looking to do?
Well, a couple things. Eventually get healthy. And they really feel optimistic about how healthy they think they'll be going into the playoffs. But, you know, they expect to have Trey Turner back. Steven Strasburg should be back within a week or so. He probably could have come back quicker, but Dusty said, I want you to be absolutely 100%. We got this, you know, we got this huge lead, this weight. Jason Worth should be back, although I don't know what his playing time will be given what some of the guys have done. They should be pretty healthy, and they might even get Adam Eaton back for the playoffs, which they never thought was going to happen. So that's the big thing. But the secondary thing is, in the meantime, they've really created a lot of depth on this team that they didn't have going into the postseason last year. A lot of guys, young guys especially, have gotten a lot of playing time. Wilmer Defoe at shortstop, Brian Goodwin in the outfield, kid Andrew Stevenson that they just brought up. Good, young, athletic kids. And last year in the playoffs, they had no depth. And now these guys, I think, feel like they belong in the big leagues. And I think that's a huge difference. And they've got veterans on the bench. They've got Adam Lind. They've got Howie Kendrick now. They've made the bullpen deeper. So, you know, they're starting to feel really optimistic about where they're going to be sitting come the 1st of October.
Well, the bullpen is key. And, of course, you know, Kinsler and Ryan Madsen has been just out of sight. And Doolittle, he throws the same pitch. He just throws that high fastball. And I know with the A's he got away with it most of the time, but sometimes he didn't. Well, I guess it's enough. I guess that's their move, I take it.
Well, we'll see if that's enough. But, you know, that was a move. You know, I mean, the things that their bullpen did in the first half of the season would have been epic if this team was in any kind of a race. I mean, it was disastrous. But they kind of sat back and said, yeah, we know it's a problem. We're going to have to address it. But there's no panic. There's no rush because we've got a big lead anyway. Their offense has been so darn good. The starting pitching is so solid that they don't have to save that many games during the regular season. But they knew if they could be patient, wait it out, you get closer to the deadline, you tend to have to pay a little less for something you need. And that's what ended up happening. They pick up 3 late inning guys, and really it's their seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. They basically replaced everybody else that they've been using with Kinsler, Madsen, and Doolittle. And, yeah, they're going to have to live with that.
All right. Well, that we'll see where that goes. Now, for me, the key to the whole deal, because they're a playoff team, they're going to be in there. They're going to have a tough first round, no matter who it is. It, you know, that five-game series, it changes like your weather, like about every 2 minutes it changes. But I think Strasburg is the key to the whole deal because Gio, you know, has been okay. Well, he's having a great year.
But yeah, he's been better than they expected. Yeah.
Yeah, in the postseason, he has not been great. In fact, you know, the one game when they had the big lead against the Cardinals in the sixth inning, you know, that was inexcusable how he'd let that get away, and we saw him out here against the Giants. But Strasburg, for me, is the key because somehow in that five-game series, if your guy, meaning Scherzer, somehow loses the first game in a crazy way baseball is, that second guy better win the game. And I think that's the key. That's where Cueto became very important for the Giants. And I think for the Dodgers, after Kershaw, if it's Darvish or Hill, someone's got to be that backup to Kershaw. And for the Nats, it better be Strasburg because it can't be A.J. Cole or Edwin Jackson,
Tanner,
I'll tell you
Tanner,
that.
Tanner Roark.
Can't do it.
Solid guys, but you're right. And I think that is a key because you're right. They're going to be in a tough second-round series, and they're going to be against probably a team in a similar situation in the Cubs. I'm not giving the Cubs that division. It's awful tight, and the Cardinals are playing really well right now. It still wouldn't shock me to see two teams in the Central end up in the playoffs. But, you know, if the Cubs are a similar kind of team because they've got what should be a couple of frontline pitchers out there in Lester and Arrieta, and you know now where does Quintana fit in there, you know, but who can you absolutely depend on right now? What's the situation? So what if you have Lester and Scherzer in game one? Somebody's going to lose.
Right.
You're right. And one of those guys, whether it's Strasburg or Arrieta, somebody's got to step up, and that could swing that whole series.
Yeah, I would say Arrieta. I really would.
I would think so, yeah.
I think he's got enough. Quintana pitched out here, and he got knocked around pretty good. This didn't look sharp. Colorado and Arizona leading the wild card. St. Louis is 4.5 back. Milwaukee, 6.5 back. Pittsburgh is now 7 with their loss today. And the Marlins, let's not even talk about that.
Right.
But I don't know if you can make an opinion on this or not, but of Colorado and Arizona, do you see them being vulnerable?
I think they're both vulnerable.
Really?
My guess is one of them doesn't make it. I think St. Louis will come on. I can see the Cubs and Cardinals both getting in. I don't know which one will be the division winner, which one the wild card. And one of those other teams in the West falter. If I had to pick one, I guess I'd say Colorado. I love what Buddy Black's done with the culture there and changed a lot of things. But I just think their pitching is far more vulnerable. The back end of their bullpen has been exposed a lot recently. With the young starters, they're not getting the length from those guys. I think that whole pitching situation could just come crashing down on them in the last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the Giants play a lot of the West. Giants are in a position to be a spoiler. They come in. All right. And, of course, out here, Hunter Strickland, Bryce Harper, a couple of Henry, Andy wrote a couple of just very brief paragraphs on it. Strickland has seen the Nats since the incident, but not seen Harper. It would be interesting, Strickland and Harper. Now, of course, if he hit him, I think that the Giants would say to Strickland, well, we've seen enough of you, goodbye. But
yeah.
They don't need this again. But I guess it's a minor storyline if Strickland does face Harper again.
Yeah, and my sense is that Harper sort of had his say. He had his reaction one time, and now I think you're right. If Strickland did throw at him, it's the point. It's so ridiculous that I think Harper would just stand there and sort of smirk at him like, well, you're going to get yours now, you know, in a different way. Harper's hard to gauge sometimes. He can be the show pony and he can be the center of attention, but he can also pull back sometimes. And I've seen him in other situations get hit and just stand there, glare at the guy for a minute and just walk down to first base like nothing happened. I think the Strickland thing struck him as so ludicrous because of the time lapse from where the original incident was back in the playoffs. I think he just thought that was so ludicrous that he decided to take a shot at him.
All right. Does the MVP come from the Nats? I mean, you got to deal with Bellinger. You got Stanton with his soon-to-be 50 home runs. You got Arenado. Then you get Zimmerman and Harper and all that with the Nats. So where does the MVP come from?
And I wouldn't rule out Goldschmidt, who I think a lot of people, sure. You know, he's sort of the Mike Trout of the National League in a way that people felt like he hasn't gotten his due, even though Trout has MVP, that Goldschmidt hasn't gotten his due because he has these fabulous seasons and the Diamondbacks are never a factor. If they can make it to the playoffs, I could see that. But I think Blackman, same situation. If Colorado gets there, he's there. I think if it's going to be a Washington guy, it probably ends up being Harper. And I think the guy that kind of is a sleeper in all this, if everybody kind of starts to balance each other out, is a guy like Justin Turner.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Rendon, and I just say no way.
Well, Rendon's right there. I mean, but you know, I think even people on the Nationals, they would kind of rank it. It's kind of weird. I think they'd rank Zimmerman almost fourth. He had that great first half, and it was more because it was a surprise. They didn't expect that. But I think overall through the whole season, I think they rank their guys Harper, Rendon, Murphy.
Boy, really? Okay, Zimmerman 26 homers, 81.
Oh, yeah.
Harper 29 and 87. Murphy 19-76, so we'll see. Hey, explain a little bit about the ballpark, because I did it in my pitching matchup summary a little earlier. Both these guys give up home runs. Samardzija, certainly Edwin Jackson, has given up a lot of home runs in just limited innings this year. But this is a ballpark, Paul. I remember left-handed hitters, if they get it to right center, the ball just disappears.
Yeah, it jumps up into that. You got the high scoreboard, the wall at right field, so you think it's a tougher poke, but you're right. It does jump up there. Now, the weather this week is probably going to dampen the long balls a little bit. It's very humid, very muggy. The rain last night, it still kind of has that feel around here today. You get those kind of days, especially more so in probably in the day game tomorrow, it kind of holds the ball down a little bit. But it's harder to get it out. You don't see a lot of shots down the left field line. The ball carried decent because of the wind currents into left center, just the way the ballpark shaped. It's open, and a lot of times the wind's coming in off the water, off the river behind the stadium, and it gets through the structure and can blow it out to left a little bit. But there's not a lot of impact from wind. It's just a matter of if you get the heavy air, sometimes it holds the ball in a little bit.
I predict home runs today. I don't care what the weather is. With these two guys, they are fly ball pitchers, so I think the ball's going out today. How's Dusty doing? Look, he's never won a World Series, and he's been in it. And here he's got a team that should be, well, who knows what will happen, but they're clearly right. Going to be one of the favorites.
You know, I think the way this season has gone is made a little easier on him. He's pretty even keel. I think he's known all along. I think Mike Rizzo told him, look, we're going to fix your issues. Yes, we're going to take care of your bullpen. They've kind of reacted to what Dusty feels like he needs. You know how Dusty loves the veteran players, especially on his bench. And you know, they went out and got Howie Kendrick for him to pair up with Adam Lind. I think that's huge for Dusty because he doesn't want to have to depend on a bunch of kids and, you know, tight extra inning double switch situations in the playoffs. I think he likes what he sees. You know, he knows from experience what can happen, but I think he feels this is as balanced and strong a team as he probably ever had. Problem is, the league's got at least two more of those.
Well, this is going to be interesting to see what happens there. Boston and the Yankees. Last night, the Yankees come back with 5 in the 8th and end up winning a game. And Edwin Nunez, who we've seen a lot of out here, and he was an adventure on the base paths, believe me, out here. And he's hitting like 400 for the Red Sox, bunch of home runs. I'm sure they're thrilled to have him. Made sort of a questionable base running move in the ninth inning, trying to go from second to third on a sacrifice fly situation. Aaron Hicks threw him out from 327 feet away. But all of a sudden, you know, I know they're on every day. You can't turn around without Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Red Sox. But actually, it's become, I think there's some interest in it now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fun when they're both good. And I think both of these teams, for a change, are reasonably likable for the rest of the world. They aren't so much the arrogant Yankees of the past. I mean, the fans still are, but I don't think the team is that way. It's not the evil empire so much. It's a bunch of young kids that are kind of fun to watch. You mentioned Severino pitching. Judge is really a great guy. Didi Gregorius has become a real darling of the fans there. And Boston, 2 years ago, John Gibbons and Toronto managers, we're talking one day, and he says, "You just wait. Boston is going to be so much fun to watch over the next few years. This is the best collection of athletes I've seen in the American League East in a decade or more." And that's what they are. They're just fun to watch, and there's energy. It's almost like Boston now are the sort of evil bad guys. You know, they're the ones with the World Series in recent years. They're the ones that, have thrown money at everything. And Brian Cashman's gone out and kind of rebuilt through the farm system and made trades and replenished the farm system. They've almost reversed roles.
How'd you like Chapman last night?
That's an adventure. I asked Joe Maddon, and it was interesting to see how long Joe Girardi would go. I was watching that to see how long he'd go without getting somebody up in a bullpen. And for a while, it looked like he was just going to let him ride it out. And it was almost like all of a sudden he realized, oh, wait a minute, this is the top of the ninth. we still got a shot if this guy blows it. So, and all of a sudden he got people up, but. It doesn't seem to matter. We've seen it a couple times this year with Kimbrel, as great as he is. Even the best of them, they're still 85% save guys. So there's always some adventures.
Chapman walked the bases loaded last night. Walked them loaded. Boy, I can imagine what the atmosphere must have been like last night. Houston, we'll sort of wrap it up with this one, Paul. Mm-hmm. Dallas Keuchel has been outspoken. Everyone connected with Houston, at least on the players' side, they're very concerned. I think they're 3-9 since the trade deadline, something like that. They're going to win the West easily. But this is another team that is a favorite to get to the World Series. They may not get out of the first round because they made no moves as far as getting a starting pitcher. Keuchel's still got, some neck spasms, and he's come back, hasn't pitched well. McCullers, you never know. So every day, every 7 minutes, you read about Justin Verlander from J.P. Morosi. J.P. Morosi must be traveling with Justin Verlander. He tweets about him, really, like every 5 minutes.
That's J.P.'s Michigan background.
Yeah, he loves it. So can Justin Verlander be moved to Houston? Because how can Houston go into this thing without another pitcher? How can they do that?
I think every day that goes by now is they come closer to having to make that deal. They probably know what the deal is that they can make. And, the Tigers are probably sitting there saying, Houston's got a fabulous farm system. The Tigers probably have a laundry list waiting for them. Will Houston bite? I think the Astros felt going to the deadline, we'll get Keuchel back, we'll have McCullers healthy, we'll get our pitching in order, we got a deep bullpen, hey, we'll be fine. And, about the same time the deadline went by, about the same time the Minnesota Twins realized they were in a race they didn't think they were in, the Astros found out that they weren't going to be as good as they thought they were, and they may have to go and do something. And even with that, I mean, Verlander's been a great pitcher, but at this point in his career, he's not the absolute certainty you send him out there in game one of a playoff series. And they're very, very vulnerable. We're going to have a situation where they're going to meet a team that's come into the playoffs kind of flying. And my guess is whoever they play is going to have to battle their way to get there. And if it's a Cleveland or a Boston or a New York, that's going to be a pretty solid team. Yeah, I think the Astros, of all the teams, the almost certain division winners that we see out there, I think the Astros are the more vulnerable than any of the National League teams.
Yeah, and whoever thought that was coming, the other thing I say about the Astros, they're going to have every game at home. Not every game, but the home field advantage in every series. And I guess they feel in that ballpark they can just score enough runs to make it happen. And, playoff baseball, you and I will talk so much more about this over the next 6 weeks, but playoff baseball is now 5 innings from the starter, and then let me see your bullpen for the next four. And I guess Houston probably figures they can get away with it with Morton or Fiers and coming in out of the pen.
Yeah, and you know, they're one of the teams that's already, you know, more and more teams now are finding that long guy. You know, Houston's had a great run with Chris Devensky. He's been fabulous as a long guy. So very quietly, the Yankees have a kid, Chad Green, who's a great long guy. He'll pitch two and a third, strike out five. You know, they're the bridge guys, and they become really, really crucial now because we saw that with Joe Maddon last year. You get the second time through the order. If you get a little antsy, if you've got that next guy, then you can bring him in, and you still don't have to stretch out your key late inning guys.
Yeah, that was Lincecum. I called him the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's the Giants won a World Series with him. Hey, great to have you on the show. Prediction for weather tonight. Are we okay here to get a game in easily?
Oh, easily. I mean, I looked a little while ago. There's a slight chance of a little bit of a burst or something, but I would guess there's no delays.
Well, they better, so they have a triple header tomorrow.
And yeah, right.
They'd have to clear the park twice. We'd be on till 2 in the morning. All right, have a good night. Thanks, Paul.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Paul White. Always great talking ball with him. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.